I was saying the Elam edition of the Gemara has made a significant difference to me in breaking into the language, the Lashon of the Gemara, and learning how to read it and to understand it. But I also want to say tonight that since this is a continuation of a regular Shayer that we have every Monday night on Masechta Brachos, it's given usually by Dr. Nady Leibster, who could not make it tonight, and because of that I assume the opportunity to give this on the third yahrzeit of my beloved father-in-law, Harav Yaakov ben Chaim Yosef Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He was a Talmud Chacham, he was learned, and he was really my introduction to Yiddishkeit. But I just want to emphasize that Nady Shir also made a difference to me, because when I came to Passaic 3 years ago, I couldn't open a page of the Gemara and read it. And now I can. Nady has a special way of reading clearly, succinctly, each line, and enables you to follow him. And if a student wants to learn Gemara, he has an ability to enable the beginner to learn the Gemara in some depth. I also want to say, my Aunt Pauline sort of told me what I was doing tonight, except she was wrong, because she was assuming I was going to do what I'd done in previous years. My father-in-law learned Torah with me. Actually, what he did is he gave a shayer in Yiddish at the Mizrahi Shul across the street. And I sort of got him into the habit of repeating the shayer to me in English on the telephone, and I taped it. Many times I fell asleep during the taping, and I haven't heard them all yet, but I have them. Others I have listened to 5 or 6 times. It takes a certain amount of patience to listen to him because he spoke slowly, either because that's the way he spoke or because he was sick or a combination of the two. And I have 30 tapes, at least, for my father-in-law. It takes patience to listen to him, but if you can listen to them, they're well worth it and rewarding. I can say this after after being married, what, 13 years? As far as I have advanced in Torah since the... To listen to a tape and to regurgitate in a proper form. And this was the night of the Brachas, the Masechta Brachas Shir. So what I did is, since I have a tape duplicator upstairs, I taped about 15 or 20 copies of his tape on Yosef. And if anyone would like a copy, it's my gift to you for coming tonight, on the condition that you listen to it before his next yahrzeit, which is not a year from now, but in the second day of Adar Sheni. So you decide. But the tapes are here. I made as many as I could. If they run out, you give me your name. I will make sure you get a copy. I'm assuming my machine duplicated them faithfully. If not, you will tell me that too.
Do we allow them to fall asleep on the
phone? As long as you stop it and replay it. The other thing that motivated me to undertake to give Nady's class, which I only did once before, in my own opinion unsuccessfully, but Howie here will, I'm sure, will tell you I was great, is that in learning, I learn ahead of Nady. And I have Masechta Brachos on tape, again by Cantor Ehrlich of Beth Shalom in Long Island. I have 100 tapes on Masechta Brachos. So I go ahead of Nady. And when I got to, with Cantor Ehrlich, to about page 123 in the edition that you have, and then something clicked. And I realized for the last two yahrzeits, I was giving my father-in-law's Divrei Torah, his words on the Torah,
on Chazal.
This time around, I found Chazal talking about him.
Now, you may not believe me, but that will be the concluding paragraph of tonight's class. So
you will have to forgive me if I rush, and I'm going to rush, only because I want to cover ground in order to reach that section of the Gemara which is relevant
to my father-in-law.
And I think then you will all see why I rushed to get there. I do think, and then I will begin, that I will leave you somewhat dissatisfied. I'm not going to resolve issues. I think I will be able to give you somewhat of an introduction to the rabbinical concept of dreams and how the Rabbanim thought about it, but I want to emphasize that the Rabbanim may not have had, and I say may not have had, an overall integrated concept of dreams. There may have been contradictory opinions and concepts, but we're here tonight to learn how the Rabbanim thought about dreams, not to ask, well, how do we think, and do we agree with the Rabbanim, or were they right, or were they wrong, or do they allow for Freud, or for Carl Jung, or anybody else you could think of or not. That should not be our concern tonight. We first want to get into their frame of mind, and I think that will be enough to deal with. Now, in conjunction with that, that's why I picked the tapes on Yosef to hand out to you tonight, because Yosef was the dreamer par excellence. And what my father-in-law, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, does is he gives you a recounting of Joseph's life together from the Chumash, from the Midrashim, from any sources he could, to give you a complete view of his life. And so that everything tonight that we do will somehow be connected in observance of his Yahrzeit. The other thing I just want to say is, and you will see it when you listen to the tapes, he was a lover of Agadita. He loved the Midrashim, he loved stories. I know he told me that when he was learning Gemara in school or in wherever he was learning it, he had a Midrash inside, like today we have Mickey Mouse comic books or whatever it is inside the real book that we're supposed to be learning. He had a Midrash inside his Gemara. So that was his first love. We are doing Agadita. We're going to be telling stories. The Lashon, the Aramaic, is very difficult. We'll work our way through it. If I get stuck, you've all got the translation. That's the basic translation I'm relying upon. And you'll help me when I get stuck. I just want to say that Agadita, very so often neglected by, I guess, by the yeshivas. I never went to yeshiva, so I'm not a bucky on that. Agadita, in some ways, is harder than halacha because it challenges your imagination, and you must draw upon all of your life's experiences to understand what's going on, and then you might not understand what's going on. So let's look at how Chazal looked at dreams. Dreams are the medium for prophecy. That's where you have to start. And I'm not talking about the average person, obviously. I'm talking about the Navi. I'm talking about somebody who is a level above the average person in his conduct, in his thoughts, in every aspect of his being. And we have the phrase from the Chumash, "B'chalom adaber bo." I will speak to him, meaningly God will speak to him in a dream. So we have the paradigmatic understanding of what a dream is, that a dream in some sense is prophecy. It's God communicating to man. Now sometimes ordinary individuals are the recipients of messages from the Ribono Shel Olam. Tani bar kapara tuat, ein chalom she'ein lo pitrom. In Midrash Rabbah, Bar Kapara tells us
There is no dream that does not have its interpretation. It's a very arbitrary statement. It's all inclusive. And I'm going to just go on, just to give you an overview, and then we're going to go to the text. Amar Rav Chisda. And again, this is from Masechta Brachos, before the point at which we are going to begin. Lo chelma tava mekayen kulei. A good dream is not fulfilled completely. Lo chelma bisha mekayen kulei. And a bad dream is not fulfilled completely. So if there is prophecy, if there is a truth element to a dream, it will not be completely fulfilled. And then we have a continuation of this idea. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan said in the name of Shimon ben Yochai, Kishem she'i afshah levar below teven. Just as it is impossible to have straw without wheat. And we can go into why. There's a good description of why that must be, which we in our 20th century city-oriented environments probably won't understand. But take it from me, straw has to come with wheat. If you have wheat, you're going to have straw. So just as that is the case, kach I afshah lechalom below devarim b'teilim. It's impossible to have a dream without extraneous matter, devarim b'teilim. I don't know how else you want to translate that. Amar Rabbi Berechia, chalom afal pi shemiktzato mitkayem kulo eino mitkayem. Again, we have a repetition of an idea. Even though part of a dream will be fulfilled, the entire dream will not be fulfilled. So we see that the Rabbanim again had a concept of a dream having a truth element, an element of prophecy to it. But there's going to be static interference, like on the radio. A message does not come in clearly. And it's analogous to a statement that we have in Koheles, where the Rabbanim give this sense of static. Ki barov chalamot v'havalim udvarim harbei. That a dream comes with a lot of vanity and confusion and many words. And you really have nothing. If you want an example of it, it's not a dream, but it's the closest I can get to it. Go to Romeo and Juliet when Mercutio is rhapsodizing about Nab, this little mosquito, about, you know, and he goes on for many minutes rapturizing about her, and she's flying around in the cobwebs of a spider, and he's describing her, and then suddenly Romeo grabs him and says, Mercutio, you're out of your mind. Cut it out. So, when you have too many words, maybe you should get suspicious. Chalamot shav yidaberu. Another concept that dreams have no meaning. This comes from Zechariah, and in our Gemara, we already learned this. This is just a review for my fellow classmates. Shmuel says that, and he quotes the prophet Zechariah, who says, Chalamot shav yidaberu. They're only speaking vanity, just emptiness in their dreams. There's no content there. So you have the two spectrums. On the one hand, you have dreams that are prophetic. On the other hand, you have dreams which are totally meaningless. And I will go on. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Chelma delo mifshar ki igata delo mikriya. A dream which is not interpreted is like a letter which is not read. Now, Tanta Ehrlich, when he learned this on the tape, it seemed to imply, well, if you don't interpret the dream, so, you know, it won't have good or bad consequences. You know, just don't interpret it, and you don't have to worry about it in case it bothers you or something. But I wonder if that's correct, because after all, if you have a letter in your hand and you don't read it, but there's information in that letter, and presumably, by not reading it, you are cutting yourself off from a piece of information, from knowing some additional fact about the world or some additional event that is going to happen. So if you don't get a dream interpreted, maybe it means not that the dream is ineffective, but perhaps it means, and I'm not going to resolve the discussion tonight, maybe it means we are simply cutting ourselves off from a source of information from the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we're just leaving ourselves ignorant, whereas had we gotten the right interpretation, and that word right interpretation is a loaded word, then we would have known something more and maybe more crucial to our activities than we had if we just ignore getting the dream interpreted. Finally, Bar Kapara says, and I'm repeating something that I've already brought up, Ein chalom she'ein lo pitrom. So even if you don't interpret it, but a dream, there is no dream that does not have an interpretation, according to Bar Kapara. So if that's the case and you don't interpret it, well, are you leaving yourself open, or are you simply nullifying the effects of the dream, assuming it's a bad dream? Rabbi Bana'a quotes, and he doesn't exactly say who he's quoting. Rabbi Bana'a is somebody who lived in Yerushalayim, and he went to 24 different dream interpreters to get an interpretation for a particular dream. And then he said, and they all interpreted it differently. Each one had a different interpretation, and you know what happened? Each one's interpretation came true. So this is a very strange statement, but Rabbi Bana'a quotes, and he says, "Kol chalamot holchim acha hapeh." All dreams go after the mouth. That's literally. Now, the mouth of whom? The mouth of the dreamer, the one speaking, the one giving the dream, or the mouth of the interpreter? So there is a gadol, a Talmud Chacham, who is quoted by the Ein Yaakov, who says that when it says kol chalamot holchim acha hapeh, it means the mouth of the one who's dreaming, the one who had the dream and is relating the dream. But there's a very strong opinion to the contrary, and indeed I think our Gemara bears it out, that acha hapeh means after, that a dream follows the interpretation, and the way that the interpretation of the dream is what's crucial, and that's going to come from a third party, or a second party actually, where you're going to a Talmud Chacham, or a man specializing in dream interpretation. He's going to interpret it, and his interpretation is going to make all the difference in the world. That is what we're going to be dealing with tonight. How is it possible that the interpretation is so crucial? It seems that the interpretation is more important than the dream itself. We're going to find out. The question again, and I'm going in circles, but I think you'll see that I'm going in a straight line also. The question is, how do we get a clear message? And how do we get a clear message from the dream? It requires a qualified interpreter. What is a qualified interpreter? I don't suggest an answer right now. But we shall see that a dream that appears bad on the surface could be interpreted as a good dream. And we will see that a dream that appears good on the surface may be interpreted as a bad dream. So it's not clear if you get up in the morning and you say, oh, I had such a terrible dream. It's not clear that it was a bad dream until you go and have it interpreted by a suitable party. Sometimes the clarity of the message, however, has to do with the mental state of the individual dreaming. And by mental state, I mean his psychological and his moral situation. You know, where is he at mentally at that point in time when he's having the dream? Is he having a lot of tzaras? Has he been a bandit, so to speak? Has he done anything bad? His activities in the world will affect the kind of dream he has. And I suggest, obviously this understanding, very few of us will disagree with, and it allows for, let's say, modern psychological interpretation to sort of creep its way in to the rabbinic understanding of dreams. And again, now I give you a quote from the Rabbanim to substantiate this. Amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Ein Marin. Rabbi Shmuel said, Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmani said in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, Ein Marin lo la'adam elame hi horei libo. A man is not shown in his dreams except the inner thoughts of his heart.
That's a contemporary statement. I don't think many people have difficulty with that. But I simply want to suggest that in terms of the rabbinical way of thinking, that it means, you know, if you're not tuned up, if you're not fine-tuned in terms of mitzvos and ma'asim tovim, that maybe your frame of thought will create a dream that has too much static in it. And if there's too much static in it, then the message isn't going to get through. It's like you want to be the best FM radio that you can possibly be. You want the best parts and the best ingredients that go into fine-tuning. And I think that's what concerns Chazal. How do we become fine-tuners, instruments to receive messages from the Kodesh Baruch Hu? But again, modern psychologists would probably have very little difficulty with this statement that kol hachalamot holchim, no, that ein marin lo la'adam ela mehiyahurei libo. Very contemporary statement. Finally, I want to say that there is a moral import or significance to dreams according to the Rabbanim. Amar Rav Chisda, chelma bisha adif mechelma tova. Rav Chisda says something very strange, that a bad dream is better than a good dream. If you're going to have a dream, better to have a bad one than a good one. I won't dwell on this strange statement, except to say that perhaps it's because a bad dream might cause us as religious Jews to do tshuva, to search our ways, to introspect and to say, what did I do wrong? Why did I deserve this? And maybe to improve your actions. In summary, and again, you know, if you sort of put me against the wall, I might not be able to defend that there is a single rabbinic understanding of dreams, but from the various statements that I have pulled together, both from the Midrash Rabbah and from Masechta Brachos, up until the point where we have read, usually mainly about Daf Nun Hey, there are two aspects to a dream. There's the manifest content, what the Rabbanim call Devarim B'Teilim, which the obvious surface level of the dream, which may be the static, it may be emptiness, it may be nothing, it may be in disguise, and we're not sure what it is. But then we have the pitron, that every dream has an interpretation, a latent contact, an esoteric symbolic structure, which may either be prophetic, something about the future, about the world, or maybe something about the individual himself. Now, with that brief introduction, I hope I didn't go too fast, lose anybody, but I just wanted to give you the background to what we're doing. What I propose to do is learn the Gemara as fast as I can without tripping over myself, because I want to get to the section that deals with my, at least to me, deals with my father-in-law. I think it's quite a coincidence that Nadi Shirim should be set up by accident, or apparently by accident, that we're going to end on a particular statement that discusses Adar and Nisan and dying in Adar and not living to see the month of Nisan. So we're going to start here. In those handout sheets, so you'll know my objective. I'm going to get to approximately, not approximately, I want to get to page 1023. I think I can do it. No, maybe not that, but 1022 approximately, yeah, about 1022 and one more line on 1023. Rabbi Wasserman, there's a Gemara here, if there are extra Gemaras, if anybody needs them, in Steinsaltz, and I'm on page 246 in Steinsaltz, if anyone wants them. Okay. We have a very strange story here, and I want to go fast through it because I'm not sure it pays to dwell on the on the individual statements until we get to the end, to get an overall picture of what's going on. But you have a very strange thing. Bar Hadya was a dream interpreter. I still don't know what his status is. Maybe some of you will help me. If we have time, maybe Rabbi Wasserman will read a certain mafarish that I couldn't handle just before this, these last few days, where I know he's getting at what I want to know, but I just can't read it. Bar Hadya mafasher chel mehava. Bar Hadya was a dream interpreter. Man de yahav le agra. Somebody who gives him an agra, a coin or a payment, he, Bar Hadya, will interpret his dreams for the good. Uman delo yahev le agra, and a man who does not give him any payment for interpreting his dreams, mafasher le ligruuta, he interprets his dreams to the negative side of things, and therefore you wonder, you know, how honest a dream interpreter could he have been? But nevertheless, apparently he was doing a big business, and I want to know why. Abaye, excuse me? Abaye v'Rava, Chazu Chelma. Both Abaye and Rava had the same Chelma. And again, I'll just ask this question as we go along. How come they had the same dream? And not just one dream, but two dreams, three dreams, maybe 10 or 15 dreams that they had the same. I will simply suggest maybe they were learning in the Beis Medrash together. And if that's what they were doing during the day, so at night they were dreaming about the various pesukim that they learned about during the day. It's the only explanation I can come up with. You can think about it as we go along, because you'll see there will be about 10 pesukim that they've dreamt about, that they're quoting. They dreamt that they read a certain pesuk in their dream, from a pesuk from the Torah, or from some place in the Torah. Abaye v'Rava chazu chelma. They both saw a dream. Abaye yahev lei zuza. Abaye gave Bar Hadya a zuza, a coin. V'Rava lo yahev lei. And Rava did not give him anything. Amri lei. They said to him, Akrinan b'chelmin, we saw in our dream. And this is the pasuk from the Torah. Shorcha tavuach le'enecha. Your ox will be slaughtered in front of your eyes, and you will not be able to eat from it. L'Rava, he said, L'Rava amale, paseid iskach v'lo ahanilach l'meichal mi'utzva delibach. Your business will fail, and you will not be able to eat because of the sadness of your heart. L'Abaye amale, and he said to Abaye, marvach iskach, your business will prosper. And you will not be able to eat because of the joy of your heart. So already we see that he's interpreting favorably to Abaye and negatively to Rava. Amrile, they said to him, Akrinan, we dreamt that we read in our dreams, Banim uvanot tolid. You will give birth to daughters and to sons. They will not be for you, because they will go into captivity. And I don't think it's important now that we go to each place in the Chumash where these quotations come from. Many of them do come from the Tofachar and Sefer Devarim, and I can show you the places afterwards. L'Rava Amale Kavishute. He interpreted this according to its plain meaning, which is a negative meaning, that it means just what it says. And Labaye Yamale, and he said to Abaye, Banachu benatach nefishe, you will have many sons and daughters. Uminasuban benatach la'alma, and your daughters will marry and go abroad. They'll go to Boston and to San Francisco. They're going to marry and they'll be spread all over the place. Umidamyan ba'apach Yedaka Azlan Bishivya. And it will seem to you as if they have gone into captivity because they won't be home with you. Again, it's a positive interpretation to Abaye. Akrinan, and they came back to him and said, and I can't believe this all happened at once. It must have been over a period of time, either months or years. Akrinan, we saw that we read in our dream, Banecha Ubenatecha Nutunim La'amacher. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another nation. La'abaya yamale. To Abaya, he said, Benachu benatach nefishin, you will have many sons and daughters. At amat lekuivach, you will say, you will tell your wife that you want them to marry your side of the family. V'hi amara lekuivach, and she's going to say, well, she wants them to marry her side of the family. Va'akpalach, and she will prevail over you. V'yihavta lahon lekuivach, and she will compel you to that her side of the family will in the last analysis marry the children, and because your children are going to marry her side of the family, it will feel to you as if it's another nation that has taken your children. But again, it's a positive interpretation for Abaye. L'rava amale devetu shechiva. And on this particular pasuk, Banecho v'netecha netunim le'am acher, your sons and daughters will be given to another. He says to Rava that your wife will die. V'yatu b'nei v'nate lidei itata acharite, and your sons and daughters will come to another woman who will be their stepmother. You're going to marry again, and they're going to have a stepmother. The amar, and now this is still Barahadia talking. The amar Rava. Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Amar Rav. He's quoting Rava himself. Abaye is saying that Rava says in the name of Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, again, who says in the name of Rav, my dichtiv, what does it mean when it says Banechu benatecha netunim la'am acher? What does it mean when it says that your sons and daughters will be given to another nation? It means Zu Esha Ta'av. This means, this another nation means the wife of the father. Akrinan, again, we saw in our dreams, Bechelmin, Akrinan Bechelmin, Lech Echol Besimcha Lachmecha, Ushte Belev Tov Yenecha. In the Sefer Koheles, it says, go eat in joy your bread, and drink your wine with a good heart. La Abaye Yamale, Barhadya says to Abaye, Marvach Iskach, your business will prosper. And you will eat and you will drink and you will read this pasuk with the joy of your heart. And he said to Rava, your business will fail, it will falter. You're going to slaughter your cow and you won't eat or drink. And out of the fear that will be in your heart, you will read these pasukim almost in envy or for solace, that you will have such pain that you will run to these pasukim to give you a good feeling. Akrinan, they said to him, Zera Rav Totsi Hasadeh. I'll give you the whole pasuk. Zera Rav. The Gemara never quotes the whole pasuk. I don't know why. Reasons of economy. Zerarab totsi hasadeh umaat te'esof ki yekselenu ha'arbeh. You will bring out much seed into the field, and you when it comes to the harvest time, you will harvest very little because the locust will have destroyed the harvest. Again, I that's from the Tochacha Sefer Devarim. And la abaye amale. Mereshe, he points out that the first part of this pasuk, which is the good part of it, he applies to Abaye, Zeravav Tosi Hasadeh, that much seed will come out, will be brought out to the field. L'Rava Amalei Misefa, and he applied the second half of the pasuk, which says Uma'at Asof, you will harvest very little because the locust will have destroyed the crop. This last part of the pasuk he applies to Rava. Again, Akrinan, we saw that we read in our dream, Zeitim yiyu lecha b'chol gvulecha. Zeitim yiyu lecha b'chol olive trees. You will see many olive trees within your property. V'shemen lo tasuch, but you will not anoint yourself with oil, ki yishal zeitecha, because the olives will fall off the tree and they won't ripen properly, and you won't be able to make olive oil out of it. La'abaye amale meresha. Again, from Abaye to Abaye, he applied the first part of the pasuk. Zaytim yulachol b'chol gevulecha. You will have many olive trees within your boundaries. La'rava amale misefa. And to Rabbi, he said, the olives are going to fall off your tree, and you're just not going to have any oil. Akrina, and they came back to him again, and they said, we saw in our dreams the pasuk. Ra'u kol amei ha'aretz. Let me find it. Ve'u kol amei ha'aretz. Hishem Hashem nikra alecho alecha v'yir'u mimcha. That all the nations of the world saw that the name of God was called upon you, the Jewish people, and they will be afraid of you. La'abaye yamale. Bar Hadya said to Abaye, Nefak lach shema, your name will be made great. Duresh metivta havet, you will become the head of a yeshiva, of an academy. Eimatcha nafla bi'alma, and the fear of you, the respect for you, will spread throughout the world. L'Rava Amar, and then he said to Rava on the same pasuk, V'dayna d'malka itba, the treasuries of the king will be broken into. Umit past beganave, and they're going to arrest you for being a thief. V'dayni kulei alma kal v'choma minach, and everybody will use a kal v'choma. They'll say, well, if they can already arrest somebody of the stature of Rava, well, maybe they're going to be coming for the rest of us Jews next, and we're all going to be arrested. And that, if you go back to the pasuk, v'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz, that all the people are going to see, and based upon that part of the pasuk, that's how Bar Hadya gets this very strange interpretation. But what happens? L'machar, the next day, itbar b'dayna d'malka, indeed, the king's treasury was broken into. Biatu v'tavsi lei l'rava. They came and they took Rava. They don't tell us what happened or how he got out of jail. Amri lei, apparently they didn't have enough, and they came back to Bar Hadya and they said, Chazan chasa al pundani. We saw a head of lettuce at the rim, the edge of a barrel. Apparently they had barrels or some sort of containers in those days. L'Abaye Amale, to Abaye Bar Hadya said, Eif iskach kechasa, your business will double, like the heads of a lettuce are doubled. If you look at lettuce, I guess the leaves are doubled or folded over. You have one and then you have two. So your business will double. And the Rava Amale, and he said to Rava, Marir iskach kechasa. Maria from the word moror, and you know that we use lettuce for moror, we use romaine lettuce for moror, it's bitter. Your business will become bitter like lettuce. Guy is brilliant. Amri lay, but they didn't have enough. They said to him, Chazan bisra al pum dani. We saw, and by the way, notice we're not dealing with pasukim anymore, we're dealing with just actual dream images that they dreamt that. They saw a piece of meat on the mouth of a barrel, on the rim of a barrel. La Abaye Amale, he said to Abaye, Basem Chamrach, Viatu Kulayam Alimizban Bisra Bachamra Minach. Your wine will become fragrant, will become aromatic, and everybody in the world will be coming to buy meat from you, to buy meat and wine from you. La Rava Amale, and he said to Rava, Takif Chamrach. Your wine will become sour. I don't know if that's the correct interpretation, translation, but it will be accurate enough. It'll turn to vinegar. Takif kamrach. V'yatu kol hayom lemizban bisra lemechal bei. Everybody will come to you to buy meat to eat, but what it means is they're going to take the meat and they're going to dip it in the vinegar, because in those days when you would I guess marinated foods was the style, and your wine's going to turn to vinegar, but people will buy meat from you to dip it into the vinegar. Amri lei, they said to him, Chazan chavita detalei bedikla. We saw a barrel hanging from a palm tree. La'abaye amale. Bar Hadya says to Abaye,
midalei yiskach kedikla, that your business will spring up, will jump up and flourish like a palm tree. The Rava amale, and he said to Rava, chalei yiskach ketamrei, your business will become sweet like cheap dates. If they're cheap dates, then nobody wants them. That's why you have to lower the price, and your business won't go well. Amri le, they said to him, Chazan rumana de kadchi apum dane. We saw a pomegranate sprouting roots, apum dane, on the rim of a barrel. La Abaye amale, and he said to Abaye, Ashek iskach karumana, that your business will be in great demand like a pomegranate. Pomegranates apparently were in great demand. The Rava Amale, and he said to Rava, Kave iskach karumana, that your business will be hard and as stale as a pomegranate can get. Amri lay, and they said to him, Chazan chavita denefal levera, we saw a barrel that fell into a pit. Abaye Amale, and Bahadia says to Abaye, Mitba'ai iskach. I'm stuck, I forgot what that means. Mitba'ai. Kada'ama. Somebody help me. Mitba'ai iskach. You lost me all, huh? Sorry.
The Rai said your wares will be sought after, as one says, bread.
Okay. People will be your wares will come into great demand. Tell them what page you're on, Howie, just so everybody's with us.
10:19.
Okay. Your wares will become into great demand. Kedamar, as it says, Nefal Pita, and we have the word Pita today. Nefal Pita Bavera, the bread, the Pita will fall into a well or into a hole, into a pit. Velo ishtakach, and it will not be found. And just as it will not be found, your wares will be in such great demand that they're going to clean the store out, and you won't be able to. Nobody will be able to find anything in your store. L'Rava Amale, he said to Rava, Paseid iskach v'shadet le levera. Your business will be spoiled. The wares in your business, your merchandise, will be spoiled. V'shadet le levera, and will be thrown into a well, into a pit. Amri le chazenan bachamara de ka'ei a'esat a'isdan v'no'er. We saw a donkey, and it was at the head of our pillow, and it was braying. Le Abaye amale, and he said to Abaye, Malka havet, you will be a king, you will be the head of the Talmudical Academy, v'ka'ei amora alach, and an amora, a translator, will be waiting upon you and helping you in your teaching studies. L'Rava Amale, and he says to Rava, Petach Hamor Gehit Mitfilach. Mitfilach means tefillin. Petach Hamor, the words Petach Hamor will be erased from your tefillin. In one of the sets of the tefillin, and I'm going to guess it's the Shel Rosh, Rabbi Wasserman, yes?
I didn't hear
you
guess.
All right. we have on parchment, and I'll just read it quickly from the Chumash. V'hayaki yavi acha Hashem el eretz haKena'ani k'asher nishba lecha v'la'avotecha unetana lach v'havata kol peta rechem l'Hashem v'kol peta shega behema asher yelecha hazakrim l'Hashem. And then the pasuk v'kol peta chamor tifdeh. So what Bar-Hadya is saying is that in your tefillin, the words Peter Chamor are erased. Gehit. Peter Chamor Gehit Mitzvilach. And Rava responds, Amale Ludidi Chazeli Lviite. I look at my tefillin and they're there. The words Peter Chamor are there. And then Bar-Hadya responds, Amale vav de petachamor vaday gehit mitfilah. But I didn't mean the words petachamor, but the vav is scratched out from your tefillin. So and the vav comes where? V'chol petachamor. So it would be the vav, presumably, on the v'chol. And nothing here is said to contradict that. And so we see at least that there is some truth value to
to Bar Hadya's interpretations. And I went through this quickly to show you how the very same dream, the very same pasukim, and he applies it one way to Abaye, who would pay him his fee, and to Rava, he turned it right around and gave a totally different type of interpretation. Now we go on because Rava didn't have enough. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know why Rava went to him. After all, if you stop and think what we said, that call Chalamot, no. Besides that, the other one that the dreams call, give me a minute to gather my thoughts. Right. I saw my own mansion fall and collapse. The Atu Kulei Alma Shakil. And everybody was coming and taking Leventa, Leventa. They were taking bricks away, one by one. Amale, and Bar Hadya says to him, Shema'atach mi badran bi'alma, that your words will be spread out throughout the world. You will become famous, and everybody will learn your Divrei Torah. Amale, Rava said to him, Chazai di'ivka reishi unetam mokri. I saw that my own head was split open and that my brains were falling out. Amale, and he said to him, Udra mi beisadya nafik. Don't worry, it was only the stuffing in the cushion you're sitting on that fell out. Amale, Rava said to him, Akriun halela mitzar abachelma. I dreamt that I was dreaming the halel of Mitzrayim. Now that's the regular halel that we say. It's called the halel of Mitzrayim because we say it Erev Pesach in the evening. And Bar Hadya says, Amale Nisa Mitrachashi Lach, that if you're saying the Hallel of Mitzrayim, that means the Hallel of Pesach already, and Pesach is in the month of Nisan, so Nisim, miracles will take place, and you will be the subject of miracles. Havaka Azel Bahade Ba'arba, they went together on a boat. Amar Bahade Gavra, Demitrachesle Nisa Lamale. Why should I go with this person to whom a miracle is going to happen? Obviously, if he's going to benefit from a miracle, I may have to pay for it. I may be the loser in this deal if I stay within his proximity. When he realized that, He ventured to leave the boat, and as he was leaving the boat, a sefer, a book, fell out of his hands or out of the packages he was carrying. Ashkechei Rava found it, v'chazad ha'vaka tivbe, and he saw that it was written in it, kol ha'chalamot ha'timach ha'peh. All dreams go after the mouth. And this goes back to that quotation which I gave you earlier. The question we should ask here is it possible that Rava did not know this quotation, which was earlier quoted after Rav Chista is mentioned? It's not quoted by Rav Chista, but it seems to be quoted in a context where he surely should have known this phrase. But in any event, he read this phrase, Kol HaKhalamot Holchim Achahapeh, and he says, Amar, Rava saying to Bar Hadya, Russia, you evil person, B'didach Kaima Utsatan Kulehai, because of you, all of this service and difficulties that I've been having have happened simply because of the way you were interpreting my dreams. Kulhu Mechal Nalach, but I forgive you for everything. Bar mi bar te de Rav Chista, except for the daughter of Rav Chista, because apparently Rava was the son-in-law of Rav Chista. He was married to his daughter, and apparently she had indeed passed away. And then Rava continues, Yehei Ra'ava, may it be the will of the Almighty, Dilimasar Hahu Gavra Lidei Demalchuta, that he should hand over this person to the authorities, Dilo Marachamu Alei, and they should not have any mercy on you. Barhadya got frightened at this point, Amar, and he said, Maya Avid, what shall I do? Gamiri, I know that it said, the Kilalat Chacham Afilo Bechinam Hiba'a, that when a Chacham, a Talmud Chacham, gives a curse, even for no reason, it's going to happen. V'chol Shekein Rava, and how much more so will it happen if Rava gives the curse, Devedina Kolaya 8, that he was justified in giving this curse to me. Amar, and he said to himself, Ekum Igli, I will get up and I will exile myself to a foreign land, Amar Mar, because we know it is said, Galut Mechaperet Avon, that if you go into Galus, if you go into exile, it will be a kapara, how do you translate kapara?
Atonement.
It will be an atonement for my sins, and that's what I'll do. Come, he got up. Gale, Leve, Roma, eh? He went to the house of Rome, and in effect, he moved from Bavel to Rome. Azal Yatev, Apitcha, Deresh, Torzina, Damalka. And he came to the place where the guardian of the royal wardrobe is situated in Rome. Apparently, you know, this is a man that is used to living in high company and couldn't avoid it, I guess. Resh Torzina Chazach Elma, and the guardian, the custodian of the king's wardrobe in Rome, had a dream. Amale, and he said, Chazai Chelma, I saw in my dream, Da Ayel Machata Be'etzbati, that a needle came into my finger. Amale, and he said to him, Havli Zusa, give me a Zusa, give me a coin. V'lo Yahavle, and the guardian of the wardrobe would not give him a coin, lo amale v'lomi dei, and Bar Hadya would not respond or give any type of response or interpretation. Amale, the custodian said, chazai denafal tichla betartein etzva'ati, I saw that a worm entered into my two fingers. Amale, he said, Havli Zuza, give me a Zuza, give me a coin and I'll tell you what's going on. Velo Yahavle, and he wouldn't give him a coin, Velo Amale. And Bar Hadya would not give him an interpretation. Amale, again, the custodian of the king's wardrobe in Rome said, Chazai denefal tichla bechula yada, I saw that the worm entered into my entire hand. Amale, and finally Bar Hadya broke down, and without receiving payment, he said, Nefal tichla b'chulhu shira'e, a worm has come in and entered and destroyed all of the silk garments in the wardrobe that you're guarding. Shami bei malka, that the house of the king heard about this, v'atyula resh trezina, and they called the custodian of the wardrobe, kor katlilei, they brought him into the courtroom, into the royal chambers where the king sits on his throne, and the king said, "Kill him." Amalahu, and the custodian said before, right away, he responded, "Ana amai, why me? What are you picking on me? I tu lahai da havaya da velo ama. Go get the person who knew what was happening, and he would not say anything. I tu who they brought." They brought him, Aituhula Bar Hadaya, they brought Bar Hadaya, Amrile, and they said to him, Atmu Zuza Didach Kavu Shira'e de Malka. Because of your Zuza that you were holding out for, the entire wardrobe of the king was destroyed. Kafitu Terrain, Araze Bakabla. They took two cedar trees, apparently that were growing together in the ground. And they bent them over and tied them together. If I'm in my own imagination, I pictured it this way. And they tied the two cedar trees together. Asur chad kare lachad arza. They tied one of Bar Hadya's legs to one tree. Vachad kare lachad arza, and his other leg to the other tree. Visharu lachavla ad istalik reshe. And they cut the string that was holding the two trees together. Azal kol chad bachad. And all each tree went back into its place, v'kum, and stood upright, aduchte, in its place, v'itztalik, and he was beheaded, unafal, bitterin, and he was cut in two. that was the end of Bahadur. Very strange story. It requires some thought. What is going on here? I want to read just two more paragraphs before we end. But at this point, I just want to say, and I'm repeating my questions, I'm not giving answers, why did Abaya and Rava go to Bahadur? And the fact that most of their pasukim, most of their dreams concern pasukim of the Torah, maybe I should have told you this now instead of earlier. It's my opinion that they indeed did have these dreams and were not inventing them. It was because they were learning together all day long, and then it was no coincidence that they both had the same dream about the same pasuk. It's the only explanation I can come up with. Maybe some of you have a better explanation. Yes? Well, maybe not at this. Maybe they were in college together. You know, I don't know at what point in their lives this was happening. And don't forget, some of the interpretations were that you will become the head of a great academy. So apparently this was before they graduated Harvard. And then the other thing is that at least some of Bahadur's interpretations were fulfilled, so we have to give him some credit. Or is it simply that Kol Chalamot Hulchim Al Chahapeh, simply whatever the interpretation, even the quality of the interpretation, that's the way the dream is going to go or the direction. I don't know. Now, the other thing is, Ein Marin Lo La'adam Ela Mehirurei Libo, they don't show a man except according to the thoughts of his heart. So Rava and Abaya, their dreams cannot be considered just the dreams of ordinary people. They were special people in a special category. What does that tell us about their dreams and how they should be interpreted? Let me just continue now a few more paragraphs, and it looks like I'm actually coming close to an hour, which it was my goal. I didn't think I would make it. Sha'al ben Dama ben Achoto shel Rabbi Yishmael. Ben Dama, the son of the brother of Rabbi Yishmael, he asked Rabbi Yishmael, Ra'iti shenei l'chayai shenashru, I saw my two jaws fall off. Arma, Rabbi Yishmael answered him, shenei gedudei romi ya'atsu alecha ra'a umeitu. Two groups of Romans were planning and conspiring against you, and they died. Amale bar kapara la rabbi, bar kapara asks to Rabbi, apparently this is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the compiler of the Mishnah, Ra'iti chotmi shenasha. I forgot what that is. Cheeks? No.
Nose.
Oh, I saw my nose fall off. Amale. Charon af nistalek mimcha. You know, there's a concept that when you get angry, you begin to smoke and breathe through your nostrils. So he says, your nose falling off signifies that your anger is going to depart from you. Amale bar kapara says to Rabbi, Ra'iti shnei yadai shenechtechu. Seems like a bad dream. Remember, I told you maybe you can have a bad dream but apply to it a good interpretation. I saw that my hands were cut off. Amale, lo titzarech l'maaseh yadecha. Your hands were cut off because you won't need them. You're going to become so wealthy you won't have to work. Amale, bar kapara says to Rabbi, Ra'iti shnei raglai shenichtu. I saw my two legs cut off. Amale. And Rabbi says to him, al susa tarochev. It means not that your legs will be cut off, but you won't have to use them so much. You're going to be riding on a horse. Chazai da amri lei. I saw that they said to me in my dream, Bar Kapara is still talking, Ba'adar mitat, that in Adar I will die, V'nisan lo chazet, and in Nisan I will not live to see Nisan. And Rabbi says to him, Ba'adruta mitat, don't read it Ba'adar, but in honor you will die. Ba'adruta mitat, v'lo atek lidei nisayon. And don't worry about the word nisan. Nisan is nisayon. You won't come into the hands of temptation. It was when I read that phrase, it was so strange, and I just felt I had to learn this this section of the Gemara, I rushed you through it. I didn't let you stop and ask questions, especially Michael. You'll forgive me.
I got one in.
Excuse me? You got one in.
The little one, Michael.
I'm looking for the sitter, that sitter. And you'll forgive me, but and I don't even know what to do with that last pasuk, except just to understand it as we read it in the context of dreams. If you are all good enough to take a tape that I've reproduced of my father-in-law and Yosef, you will hear a different way of learning, and you will get a sense of what this man was and how he learned, and you will get a certain feeling of Yiddishkeit, which you will feel, at least I have felt through the years, that when a Talmud Chacham, any Talmud Chacham, sits and learns and talks, it's as if the Torah itself was standing on its feet talking, because the greater, the more Torah that a man learns and absorbs into him, he in effect becomes the mouthpiece, the spokesman for the Torah. He is as if that is the Torah speaking, and that is why when a Talmud Chacham walks into the room, we do indeed have to stand for him the way we stand for a Sefer Torah. You will listen, God willing, to the tapes of my father-in-law and maybe get a sense, a slight sense of the amount of Torah that he had absorbed into his essence, and hopefully you will benefit from it. Rabbi Chananya ben Azkasha Omer Ratzon Kodesh Baruch Hu Lezarkot of Yisrael Lefichach Hirba Lehem Torah Umitzvot Shenama Adonai Chafetz Laman Tzidko Yagil Torah V'yadir Kodesh de Rabbanan, please. Uncle Phil.